In a little short sermon series on hope, and so this will be the last one on hope. Next week I'll be returning back to our study of James, and I've enjoyed this little series on hope. It's to have confident expectation of God fulfilling promises. A few weeks ago, we saw the sad state our world is in because of sin. And this world is in need of hope. And the world didn't suddenly become perfect so Jesus, the Son of God, could enter. No, he entered into our broken world. He entered in as a baby. And last Sunday, we saw that the birth of Jesus brought the Son of God in the flesh. And the hope of the coming Savior was fulfilled. That hope that has been from the time of Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, there was the hope of a Savior to come, and that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ when he came. He came in the flesh so that he would ultimately pay for our sin through his death on the cross, and we can put our faith in him because he gave everything for us. And today we'll be looking at a number of passages about hope for the future, but I want to say that I know that many of my messages so far, we've already seen hope for the future in the hope of eternal life. We have hope in salvation, and I've talked about that a number of times already, but I would say many of the passages today I'll be looking at more of the immediate future, hope for today, for tomorrow. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, we're going to be looking at Matthew 2, 13. I'll be starting there, Matthew 2, 13. Matthew 2, 13 through 15. We're talking about the Magi. When they, the Magi, had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled that the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Oftentimes we read the Christmas story at Christmas time. I would say I know a number of families do, and often in church we'll kind of read through some of that. But this is usually kind of after where many families stop reading. Right before this passage, we see the Magi or the wise men. They came, they worshiped Jesus, they gave their gifts. Some families may read that portion and then stop there. But what we see here is that the Lord instructed these Magi or these wise men to leave and not go back through Jerusalem and revisit Herod. Herod wanted them to return to him after they found Jesus. And Herod wanted them to tell him where they found the baby Jesus. And Herod had said he wanted to worship the baby, but that's a lie. He truly wanted to kill Jesus. Herod was an evil, jealous ruler, and he didn't want anyone worshiping any other king. Herod even killed some of his own family out of jealousy, thinking that they might rise in power and usurp him. So he was an evil man. Again, even at the birth of Jesus, we see a world full of sin. Even with his birth, we see Herod showed jealousy, anger, hatred, and we're even going to read about death. And the reality is we live in a fallen world. Even with the entrance of the Messiah, the world is still broken, and we see its depravity. the Lord gave Joseph a dream to leave with Mary and their baby. Was Jesus still an infant? He was most likely around 2 years old. So basically, the first 2 years of Jesus' life, they were in Bethlehem. But anyways, God warned Joseph to leave. And Joseph left right away, in the middle of the night. We see that God the Father was protecting Jesus. Think about that. In the middle of the night, it just up and leaves. You know, I was thinking when I left Minnesota to go to seminary in Missouri, Christy was around 3 years old. I can tell you that wasn't some quick decision overnight. It isn't something that we just, I think I'll go to Missouri, and we just pack up and go. No, we took our time. We planned ahead. It took a long time to make that move. And I realized Joseph and Mary, they probably didn't have much that they would need to take with them. But at the same time, they're just grabbing what they can carry and they travel to Egypt. You see, Joseph was stepping out in faith. He was trusting that what he heard, trusting that God would take care of them. Now, many believe that the gifts that the Magi gave them helped finance their travel to Egypt and to cover expenses, and maybe they used that, maybe they didn't. We don't really know for sure because it's not talked about. But God did take care of them. You see, Joseph had hope that God would protect his son and protect his family. But it also required action on Joseph's part, Joseph and Mary. Here we see that faith and hope are important, but God also expects us to act upon his revelation to us. Now, I need to be careful here in that not every message, not every dream is always from God. We must discern what we believe we are hearing. To discern is asking, is what I'm hearing really the Lord, or is it Satan pretending to be the Lord? Because that does happen. Is what I am hearing from the Lord, or is maybe it sin or selfishness within me, something that I desire, I want, and so then I just think I'm hearing from God? I know it sounds a bit out there, but it's absolutely true. We must take everything back to God's word. If it conflicts with Scripture, it's not from God. If it conflicts with Scripture, it isn't from Him. But there are times many people hear from the Lord, and they sit back and do nothing, and they want God to do everything. There are many times that our faith and hope need to be accompanied by action on our part, and sometimes those actions require us to do some hard work, requires us to move out of our comfort zones, forces us to rely on God all the more for direction, requires us to rely on God for wisdom and an ever-present help. See, Joseph heard, and he moved to action. Mary had to trust her husband Joseph, did hear from the Lord. And so she's having to kind of doubly trust God and trust her husband heard right. So how does that impact us? Well, sometimes we're praying that God will provide for our needs, but we also need to work. Maybe we're asking God to be with our children, but as parents, we also need to train and teach. Maybe we're praying that God would protect our marriages, but we must love. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for. Wives, love your husbands as unto the Lord. There's action required. Anyways, let's read on a little bit further here. I'll be reading verses 16 through 21 of Matthew 2. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. He said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. You see, on the one hand, we give praise to the Lord for his protection of baby Jesus, his protection of Joseph, Mary. He guided and directed them to safety in Egypt. And Joseph, through faith, he listened and he fled from the danger. We give praise to the Lord for that. But on the other hand, we have to realize that Rachel weeping for her children in Matthew, it is quoting from Jeremiah, which is basically saying there's great sorrow and mourning in and around Bethlehem because many families violently lost their young sons because of an evil ruler. So doing some research, there are traditions out there that hold there was tens of thousands of children that were killed. Again, that's some traditions. I'm really not sure where they came from or how they came up with that number, but those numbers really don't match up with the population of that small rural area. The likelihood is that it could have been anywhere between 6 to 30 children were likely killed. Though that is significantly less than thousands, even one innocent child killed is too much. But the reality is that Bethlehem and the surrounding area was not highly populated. It doesn't change the fact that even 30 young boys killed would have put that entire area in turmoil. We have families that spread out, and even if your direct household isn't impacted, you know that there are extended parts of the family that are. There is great sorrow. But the evils of Herod made its way all the way to that little area of Bethlehem. Now, we know a lot changed with the entrance of Jesus Christ, but the brokenness of this world remains. You see, loss and pain are still here today. Fortunately, we have hope that God will never leave us. Our hope in Emmanuel, that is God with us, is not going anywhere. He's staying with us. We are promised, we're promised that many times. I'd like to read Deuteronomy 31:8, just another one of those promises. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You see, with God, we don't have to live in fear. With God, we can face the evils of this world with confidence because our God is with us. In the 23rd Psalm, I don't have it up on the screen, but even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You see, Christ came in flesh and blood, and he has all authority. And with our trust in him, we don't have to be afraid of what we encounter in this world. Yes, our bodies are going to die, our bodies can be killed, and even those of our loved ones, but our eternal souls continue on. I don't have to be worried or afraid because I know that by having faith in Christ, my soul enters into heaven. That 23rd Psalm never says that God keeps us from those dark valleys. He doesn't say that. We know we will be walking through them. He says that we don't have to be afraid because he's with us. I'd like to read out of Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Again, what can man do to me? We realize that pain can be inflicted. Pain is involved in this world, but for those mothers and fathers impacted by Herod's thugs, we know they definitely felt pain and loss. But trusting in the Lord, their pain doesn't last forever. We feel loss and hurt, but it's not forever. And the Lord comforts us in the here and now. The Lord is my helper now because I put my life in his hands. I'd like to read from Psalm 46. I'll be reading a number of verses from there. I'll start out with verses 1 through 3 here. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Sometimes life might feel like that. Life might feel like the earth is giving way under us. It might feel like the mountains are crashing down around us. It doesn't change that our refuge is in God. We get our strength from him. An ever-present help in trouble means we're going to encounter trouble, but we have an ever-present help. He's always there. He's always available. I'd like to read verses 6 through 7 of that same psalm. The nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The world might be in chaos and countries are fighting. Hey, we see that right now. But the Lord is with us. He's our fortress. So what do we do in those moments? What do we do in those times where we feel like everything is collapsing around us? We can say he's in control, and we know he is. But what do we do when the world is just crashing down around us? That's where that verse, first part of verse 10 comes in. Be still and know that I am God. As if, hey, we're taking a time out here. We take a moment. We quiet ourselves. You see, when a lot of things are going on, our thoughts are just going crazy. Just quiet yourself. Quiet the crazy thoughts and anxieties for a moment. Be still. Take a breath. Look to God and keep trusting him. He's God. Everything God has promised, including sending Christ, has come true. We are told that we don't have to live in fear, that God is watching over us. Let us instead be still and trust. And he'll keep his word. Doesn't mean that we're going to avoid pain or suffering, but it means we are not going through it alone. We have help because he's with us. I'd like to read out of Psalm 9. Psalm 9, 9 through 10. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Again, he is our refuge, a place of safety, a stronghold. He is where we can find peace and rest. But with the world as it is, we will be targeted, especially by Satan. He hates everything to do that hates anything and everything that has to do with God. He hates us because we bear God's image. He lies, he confuses, he distracts us from what is good and holy. He tries to lead us away from God or question God's goodness. But here's something we need to know. When we put our faith in Jesus, he comes and dwells in us. And with Christ, again, there is nothing to fear. 1 John 4:4 says, "The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Do you realize that? I love that verse because it reminds me of a lot of things. I have Christ in me. I have his Holy Spirit in me. Number one, I don't have to sin. I may struggle with it, but I don't have to partake in it. I don't have to follow the ways of the world. And Satan might act like this big, ferocious lion, but in reality, that he is nothing compared to Christ. The one who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. Satan is a liar. I'd like to read a special passage about Christ in us, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. I'll be reading Romans 8:10 through 14. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as Jesus raised, or just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to our mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Yes, our bodies are going to die at some point because of sin, because that's just the world we live in. But because of Jesus Christ, we've been made right with God. And the Spirit of God, the very same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us. And we look forward to being raised too, to be with Christ. That same Spirit is in us now, and we've been freed from the sinful nature. You get that? I know we all struggle with sin. The struggle is because of our desires, but we're free to turn away. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can put to death the deeds of the sinful nature. When we put our faith in Jesus, we are led by the Holy Spirit, and we are adopted. We are children of God. That passage is one that we need to remember. I'd like to move on and look at another psalm, Psalm 78:7. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. With our hope and trust in God, we should not forget his deeds. Remember all that the Lord has done. He sent his Son to save us. He gave us the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. God has done so much. We have so much to be thankful for. Yes, life stinks sometimes. We're just going to be real. We cannot get away from that because of this world that we live in. But we also know that the Lord, what the Lord has done for us, showing us his love for us in incredible ways. We're not to forget or take that love for granted. And because of the love he showed us, and by our love in return, we shouldn't forget in keeping his commands. We have been going through James, and we see that precise theme. Because of our love for him, we serve him through our actions, our good deeds, and our obedience. Those things do not earn us more love from our Heavenly Father, but we do them as a response in our love for him. Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. We have read some of Romans 5 already in other messages, and we have been we've been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're coming back around and that we don't need to fear judgment, as the Lord has already shown us his love. When we put our hope and trust in Jesus, we have been given the Holy Spirit out of God's love. God has given us many things, and the Holy Spirit is a great gift. Let us keep our eyes fixed on our Savior here and now. We know the greatness of salvation to come, but God is good to us now. We can enjoy each day with thanksgiving, for the Lord cares for each of us. So I'd like to ask you, is your hope in Jesus Christ? Do you want to have joy for today because we have a faithful God who loves us and is with us every moment? If you have not put your hope and trust in Jesus, I hope that you would. I hope that you would make that commitment today. And for those of you that may be going through a difficult time now, we know we can trust him. He's here. We can rest in knowing that he's always with us. He's got a plan for us. We don't always know what that is. Sometimes we have to walk through some pretty dark valleys, but he's with us.